This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to answer the question, are you feeling led by the Holy Spirit? We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you will benefit from this half hour of Bible study. We're glad that you tune in each and every week. Please tell your friends about us, and we hope that we can learn from God's Word. Let me encourage you and challenge you not just simply to listen. We certainly appreciate that. But come be a part of the worship service. Come visit us at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Call us if we can help you to get here, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. We meet Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 p.m., Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We always appreciate those who listen and learn, but let me challenge you to go above and beyond that, to come and worship God with us. We would love to have you. You would be our honored guest. You know, a lot of folks today in the religious world claim to have a direct leading from God apart from the Bible. God certainly guides us through His Word, the Bible, but they're claiming a special guidance or direction outside the Bible, in addition to the Bible. Sometimes a person will say, I sensed God was telling me such and such. I heard God telling me such and such. Or I just know in my heart that God is telling me. A number of things happened to me that just told me that is what God wanted me to do. You'll hear things like that in the religious world. And I don't think individuals think much of it if it has to do with something that is good or normal or something that is typical in a person's life involving getting married or a job change or something like that. But sometimes religious individuals will say, God told me to blow up a building with people in it and kill them. God told me to start a religion and then end up killing the people in that religion like David Koresh did back in the 1990s and others have done before and since then. All of a sudden, God telling someone something makes the news. So, is this true that God speaks directly to us? We hear His voice physically in our ears speaking to us. The issue is not, are we led by God or the Holy Spirit? The issue is, how are we led? The scriptures are very clear that we are led by the Spirit. The question is, how is that done? It can be directly, by directly speaking to us, and we hear His words in our ears, or it can be indirectly through the means of the revealed scripture in our Bible. The Bible tells us clearly that we are led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Matthew 4:1, Luke 4:1, led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But we are not told exactly how this was done or that this leading is for us today. That was for Jesus. Christians, however, are told that they are led by the Spirit. And we're told how this is done through the Spirit's teaching. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 is a chapter by the Apostle Paul where he has a lot to say about being led by the Spirit and walking by the Spirit and so forth. Look at Romans chapter 8, speaking to Christians, and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Clearly, Christians are led by the Spirit of God. But if you back up and start reading the context, you begin to see how this is done. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit has a law. He has words that are written down in the law of Christ, written down and recorded in Scripture. Look at verse 6. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. So we have the mind of the Spirit. His attitude, his heart, his mind, his thinking, his intelligence. How is that given to us? Verse 7, because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So we have the mind of the flesh, verse 6, which is death, and we have the mind of the Spirit, which is life. And then he repeats it, but the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. The mind of the Spirit, verse 6, which is life, is revealed in the law of God. Verse 7. Look at verse 16, past where we read earlier in verse 14. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Well, how does the Spirit do that? Directly by speaking words into our ears? Or, as we have just seen, through the law of the Spirit and the law of God. And so, we are led by the Spirit. Here's another passage. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Also written to Christians. Galatians 5 and verse 18. I'm sorry, I said verse 19. Galatians 5, 18. We'll back up a couple of verses, Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary one to another, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, partying, envying, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit also let us walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, Paul talks about being walking by the Spirit, and he talks about bearing the fruit of the Spirit. How is that done? Well, look at chapter 3 of the same book in verse 4. Chapter 3. He's asking a question, received ye the Spirit, chapter 3, verse 2, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it is in vain? He therefore that supplieth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did the Spirit come to them? By hearing the words of the apostles preaching to them. Look at chapter 5 as we look at verses 16 through 26. When you look at that, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, how do those things come? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. How do we learn about those things? In the New Testament. That's how we can live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. You come on down to chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. But let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. As they were taught the words of the Spirit, they were led by the Spirit. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. How do we sow unto the Spirit and bear the fruit of the Spirit? Live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, all of these phrases that are used in this section. By hearing the words and being taught the words of the Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is no less active today when He leads through the instrumentality of His Word than He was in the first century. In Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul is talking about putting on the whole armor of God, in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If I take a sword and divide something, I cut something, did I do it? Even though my hands were on a sword and I never touched that which I divided or cut, was I responsible for that, even though I didn't directly touch what I cut in half? Of course I'm responsible. But I worked through the instrumentality of a sword. I held on to the end of that sword. I did it using an instrument. And the Holy Spirit speaks and teaches and leads and guides through the instrument of His Word. And it's He no less doing it if He's doing it through the instrumentality of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Some people today say of us that we don't believe the Holy Spirit works. Of course He does. That we don't believe the Holy Spirit leads or guides. Of course He does. And He does that through the instrumentality of His Word, not directly. And stop and think about that, friends. Everybody is claiming that God is personally telling them things to do. A couple of things. First of all, why is it that God is telling people to do contradictory things? Sometimes a person will say, well, God told me to do this. And another person will say, well, He told me to do the direct opposite. Why is God telling people to do contradictory things? God is not a God of confusion. We learn that from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In the second place, if somebody says, God told me to do something, how would we know that God actually did that, other than the person just simply claiming that? In the Old Testament, there was a test if a person was actually speaking from God or not. And that is, their words were come true, and also we know from both the Old and New Testament that when somebody was claiming to speak from God, they could back that up with a miracle. So there has to be some testing. We can't just simply take somebody's word for it. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, we learn that God has spoken in different ways. In the past, in Bible times, He did speak directly to people. You could hear His voice. But God does not speak that way to us today. He has chosen a different method today to speak through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we have to let God speak to us on His terms. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets by different portions and in different ways or manners, has at the end of these days spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. There was a time in the past when God revealed His word and will directly to the prophets in Bible times through a number of different means. He gave Gideon a sign of the dew on the ground. Daniel had dreams and visions. In the New Testament, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, later the Apostle Paul, saw a light from heaven and a voice. Philip's daughters prophesied. John on the Isle of Patmos saw a revelation, and on and on and on. The there are different ways in which God has chosen to speak. He spoke directly to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He spoke through a donkey, Balaam's donkey. It's a different way. He spoke through angels. We could list all the different ways in which God has led people in Bible times, and that's what the writer says in chapter 1 and verse 1. Different portions, different amounts, all of it was not revealed at once, and in different manners. Has at the end of these days, and we are living in those days started with Jesus when he came and when the church was established, the latter times, the end times, we're in those days from that time that Jesus came until he comes again, has spoken unto us in his Son. And so we need to be willing to accept that. In Bible times, when God revealed his word and will directly to prophets, it was rare. It was a special intrusion into their life. It was supernatural. It was very clear that God was speaking to them and not somebody else. It was against human wisdom. It was a message that was often different than what the world was saying. But we are not prophets who receive special revelations outside of God's revealed will in the scriptures. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12, that prophecy, tongues, and knowledge ceased when the complete revelation of Christ was made toward the end of the first century. When that which was perfect was come, not he who is perfect, but that which is perfect, the revealed will of Christ, the completed will reveal of Christ with the book of Revelation, Matthew through Revelation, 27 books of the New Testament. When that was completed, things like tongues and prophecy and special revealed knowledge through prophecy was done away because the completed revelation was given. And so we don't have those special revelations from God today. We have the New Testament, and it contains everything we need. All Scripture can make us complete, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It's inspired of God. It can furnish us thoroughly unto every good work. We have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3. So, when people feel led by the Holy Spirit, what's happening is they're claiming something that goes against what Scripture says. Scripture says that the days of God's personal direct revelation are over, and what they're saying goes against that. Let's talk about that for just a moment this morning on the program. When people feel, and I put that in quotation marks, when they feel led by the Holy Spirit, we've already established that that's not the case. It's not a direct leading. So let's look at a second thing. When people feel led, what follows? What's happening there? Well, let's talk about that. One thing that I can think of is that authority is given to one's feelings rather than what's in Scripture. I feel led by the Holy Spirit, and I want to tell you how I feel about that. Well, then man's word becomes God's word. And that's simply not the case. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10:23. There is a way in man that seems right, but the end of that way is death, Proverbs 16:25. So one's inclinations and one's feelings become authoritative and supreme, and often it takes precedence over the Word of God. Sometimes you'll show somebody in black and white what a verse in the Bible says, and they'll say, well, I read that, but I feel, well, what you're doing is you're putting your feelings above God's word. We can't argue with the Bible. Now, there are some people that say the Bible's not the word of God. That's a subject for another lesson. But those who are hearing me this morning, who believe that the New Testament is the very word of God, all scripture inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, and the Old Testament for that matter, they believe it's the very word of God. You end up putting your feelings over the word of God. The second thing that comes to my mind is that each person then becomes a law to himself. I feel led by the Holy Spirit to do this or that. And so I just get to say what I think or feel and what I'm going to do. And so subjectivism, which is inner feelings, rules over an objective standard of truth, which is in the Bible. And I just become a law to myself. All I have to say is, well, I feel this, and I feel led to do this, and I feel led to do that. And then the next person says the same thing, and the next person says that. And so you've got all these people. There's over 7 billion people in the world. Think about if everybody did that. You would have over 7 billion approaches to things. And on top of that, plain Bible teaching and the wise counsel that comes from it is often ignored. Like I said earlier, you'll point out in a verse what Jesus said about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and the unscripturally divorced person says, yes, but. You'll point out what Paul said about the works of the flesh that we read earlier, fornication and other things like that. And somebody says, well, yes, but we're in love. You point out Bible passages about the sinfulness of homosexuality, and people say, well, yes, but this is why I can be a homosexual. Everybody is a law unto himself, and plain Bible teaching is either twisted or completely ignored. And there's no way of truly determining whether or not God is speaking to someone, as I mentioned earlier. Do you know that Jesus talked about false prophets? Matthew chapter 24. Peter talked about false prophets. 2 Peter 2. John talked about false prophets in his book of 1 John. The Old Testament talks about false prophets. These were people that appeared to be good and right and leading the people the right way, but they were completely false. And people were led astray by them. People were gullible, thinking that, well, they're speaking God's word. Now, these false prophets did not back up their claims with any evidence. Their only claim was just saying something. But we know that that's not evidence. Anybody can claim anything and it not be true. Are you led by the Spirit? Am I led by the Spirit? We are, if we will allow ourselves to be led by the words of the Spirit in the New Testament for us today. God led his people miraculously in Bible times. He parted the Red Sea and led them through the wilderness. He led his people in many ways, providing for them physically and spiritually. But he does not lead us miraculously today. God leads his people providentially today. He watches over us. He watches over the flowers of the field and the birds of the heaven, and he watches over us too. The very hairs of our head are numbered. And he provides rain and fruitful seasons. And he gives us our bread to eat. And he gives us health. But when it comes to leading his people spiritually, it's through his word. And friends, his word is a guide, Psalm 119:105. It's a light and a lamp unto our feet and way. Will you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit's word today? Or will you be hardened and reject it? Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, he talks about the natural man. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually judged. Here is someone that opens up their Bible and says, well, this is foolish. They can understand it, but they choose not to. They think it's silly. Marriage for life, oh, that's silly. Marriage between a man and a woman, that's silly. No sex before marriage, oh, that's silly. Telling the truth all the time, oh, that's silly. Don't ever steal, well, that's silly. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, that's foolish, that's silly. Take the Lord's Supper each first day of the week and give your contribution and worship together with other Christians every first day of the week, oh, that's silly. That's foolish. So we become the arbiters and judges, and we stand over God's word, and we tell God what part of his Bible we like or don't like. And the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to listen to it. Friends, we are to live by the Spirit, Romans 8:13. We're to be led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14. We're to walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. We're to live by the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. We're to bear the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. We're to worship by the Spirit, Philippians 3, verse 3. And we do all of that by following the words of the Spirit laid down in the New Testament. Jesus said in John chapter 16 that the Spirit, he was going to give the Spirit words to give to the apostles. And so when the apostles preached and taught and wrote down those words, those were the words of the Holy Spirit. And he would guide them, the apostles, into all the truth. John 16:13. He shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you, Jesus said to the apostles. It's important to be led by the Spirit in our lives. Will you allow him to lead you today? Will you allow yourself to be led by the words of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? If we can help you to be led and guided by him, why don't we sit down together and study his word together? Thank you for joining us this morning.